Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Church at Lake Travis, let's say thank you to all our guests for joining us today by clapping our hands and saying welcome. Yeah. We're glad you're here. If you are visiting, we hope that you feel warmly welcomed and that you feel connected. Our vision as a church is to seize every opportunity to connect people with Jesus and the church. And so hopefully we can do that with you, and we're glad you're here. As Lee said, I hope you had a great 4th of July weekend or week. I guess it felt like the weekend in the middle of the week. And so it was really good for us. We got to go out to the Lakeway Parade, and maybe you're here because you saw us at the Lakeway Parade. So what I love about the Lakeway Parade, I don't know if you've ever been. If you haven't, you should, because it's super, super cool to see the patriotism for the United States displayed in a big way. Isn't that cool? If you've been there, you've seen it. And so just getting to see older generations that are passionate about the country and younger generations bridging the gap, and really, really neat to see everybody in the community come together and just celebrate 4th of July. That was fun. And then we vegged out and watched it rain and grilled burgers and hot dogs. So that hopefully you did something similar and had a good time. As Lee mentioned, today begins one of our biggest ministries of the year, and that is Mega Sports Camp. We have over 100 children that are registered for Mega Sports Camp, elementary age. That's really about 70% who don't go to our church anywhere, or we don't know that they go to church anywhere, so it's super good opportunity for us to share Christ's love with them. Next Sunday, it was mentioned, we're going to have a special service, Mega Sports Camp finale, and all the parents that come tonight and over the next couple of days will get one of these that will give them an invitation to join us for that finale. We're going to have cheer demonstration and, as Lee mentioned, frozy snow cones. On the back, we're really helping parents, because we feel like partnering with parents is part of raising kids in the way that they should go. And so we've given them some value-added information just to help them in their raising their kids. And so that's super cool. It is halfway through the year, and we're kind of flipping today's service on its head as kind of a nod to that halfway through the year. And so you're like, where's all the music today? Well, it's coming at the end of service. So we had one song, and then I wanted to share a little mid-year update with you, and then I'll share the message, and then we'll respond in worship. So a little mid-year update. Sometimes you may just want to know, like we don't talk a lot about finances here at the Church at Lake Travis. We have a faith box in the back. You can give online. But from beyond that, we don't really talk a whole lot about finances. So you might wonder from time to time, how are you doing? Well, we have an open book policy at the Church at Lake Travis, which means if you're a partner of the church, then you can come ask us and we'll tell you anything you want to know. And I hope that as your pastor that I can be transparent and let you know things that in advance, so you won't even have to ask, that we'll just be able to kind of inform you up along the way. So I was thinking about this, like, our board approves our budget every January and kind of gives us the marching orders for the year. And what we've seen is halfway through the year, we were about $3,000 short on income of what we thought might come in, which isn't awful because we were $3,000 less in our expenses. So we are actually break even. Like, I think we're actually positive $11, which is awesome. Really, really good. But that has been after we've been able to send people on mission to Roatan, been able to send kids on mission to Mission Waco, even started covering the expenses of Mega Sports Camp. And so, yay God, it's awesome. He's providing, and he's using your generosity, church. Good job. So, yeah, somebody's wanting to clap back there, I think. So you can clap, yeah. we are also in what I'll call the disciple-making business, and that is a win for us is a changed life. And so this year, we started the year and we just said, God, if you would save 20 people this year, that would be amazing. And so that was our prayer just in January, God, bring 20 people to faith in Christ. And so far this year, we've seen 8 people give their life to Christ, which is awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah. We feel like the mark of a disciple of Christ, of one who's followed him, is someone who will be willing to follow him in water baptism. And so we said, God, if you're going to save 20 people, then we'd love to see 20 people follow you in water baptism. And we've seen 5 people baptized in water this year, which is super cool. And we celebrate those people following Christ. Our men's and women's ministries continue to thrive and grow and really make disciples with people. We have a goal to add 2 more house churches. Currently we have 2. We want to add 2 more, and we're a little behind on that goal. I want to be transparent and let you know we don't have it all together, but we're working towards that, and probably in the fall sometime we'll be ready to launch 2 new house churches. And really, at the end of the day, the church is growing, which is exciting. And just so you know, halfway through the year now, we've grown by 34% since last August, which is incredible growth. I don't know if we'll have 34% growth in the next year, but that would be amazing if God would do that. And so, and I would say you're a big part of that. Like, you coming faithfully, you attending consistently. We issued a 10-12 challenge this summer and said, come to church 10 out of 12 Sundays this year. We give you 2 Sundays off, but come 10 out of 12. And we've seen you do that. Like, be faithful and consistent, and we couldn't do what we do without you and your partnership. And so thank you for that. It makes leading this church so fun. Now, that's where we've been. Now, where are we going in the next couple of months? Let me just give you a little update on that. You already heard about 21 Days of Prayer coming in August, and so we'll be doing that. Really, as we go through the summer months, I don't know about you, but I get out of rhythm. I sleep in. I don't get up and do my quiet time as regularly as I should. And so we kind of have this reset in August where we're like, okay, time to get back on track. School's going to start again, and we're going to refocus our attention on God and really focus in on growing our relationship with Him and growing closer to Him. We'll launch a new series in August called Closer, and we'll participate in 21 Days of Prayer, really being intentional about drawing close to God. On the 19th of August, we'll have a Blessing of the Backpack. So school will start, I think, the 15th, and then that following Sunday, we'll have all the kids come and we'll bless their backpacks and send them out in prayer for the school year. And here's what I believe. As we draw close to God's heart, as we get close to Him, we can't help but start to catch His vision for the people in our lives who don't know Christ and who don't have a relationship with Him. And so we'll be pointing our attention right after we finish that series in August. We'll be looking to help people come to know Christ. And one of the ways we're going to do that is we're going to do a series called Raising Positive Kids in a Negative World. And we know that the number one requested theme for us this year was, I'd like more information on how to raise my kids. And so we're going to do that. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about raising your kids in a super practical series. And if you have friends, then that is the time to invite them, because that will be a time where we will not only give them practical instructions, but we'll also share the love of Christ with them. So it's a super exciting time in what's coming in the life of our church. And so that's my little brief update on where we're going in the next few months. And let's pray, and we'll begin today's message. So, Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word today. Open our hearts and minds. We do pray for Mega Sports Camp tonight, and we thank you for what you've done in the past few months, God, and the way you've saved people, and people have been baptized, and now we're praying that you would bring children to faith in Christ through Mega Sports Camp. Lord, we pray for all the volunteers that are involved. We pray that you would equip them, and you would help them to to share and shine the love and light of Jesus with the kids that they're serving. And Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray, God, that today our hearts would be open and that we would have hearts that would be willing to be transformed by the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, a few months back, I was having barbecue with a new person from our church. And the reason I was having barbecue with him was because he was from another part of the country. And I thought, if you're from way up north, then you really need to learn what barbecue is. I mean, like, so come have some Texas-style barbecue. So took him out to It's All Good Barbecue and just said, hey, tell me your story. And he started telling me his story. And come to find out, like, literally, coming to the church at Lake Travis was like the second time he had ever gone to church any time in his life. And this is like a 40-year-old man. And so as I began talking to him, he shared with me, like, I really just want to know the big picture of the Bible, the story of the Bible. And so I began to talk about what the story of the Bible is. And really, that's what this God Is series has been. It's been a series designed to tell the story of God. There are different ways of telling the story of God. Some people break it down into categorizations of theologies. And you'll see here on the screen, there's three different major theological systems that people use to explain the story of God. You've got covenant theology. Their primary objective is to develop an elect people. And they talk about God's work through time in covenants, which we talked about a little bit. There's another type of theology called dispensational theology, and that is to develop a kingdom for God to exist and his people to exist. And they talk about God working in different dispensations along the way throughout history. And then a Christocentric theology, and it's more simple, and it says the whole Bible should be viewed in light of Jesus and his work. And so they walk through the story of God that way. Another more simple way is kind of like where the story of God is treated as four acts, and you'll see these come up on the screen. The first act would be creation, the second act would be the fall, the third act would be redemption, and the fourth act would be restoration. I think this is a great way, if you're ever trying to explain your faith to someone, to say, well, there is a God who loves you, who has created you, and the problem is there is sin in the world because of Adam and Eve. But the good news is that God sent Jesus to die on a cross for us so that we could live with him forever, which is really, really simple. We broke this series down the same way. If you want to go to the next slide, we saw that we kind of said there's a prologue to this whole idea, and that is God's knowable, he exists, God's Trinity. There is creation, and God spoke the world into existence, and he reveals himself through creation and ultimately through Jesus. God is the creator, God is love. Then the fall happened, God is just, he can't let sin go unpunished, so he is a just judge, but he didn't leave humanity alone with that judgment. He actually provided a covenant and provided Christ for us. Then we see redemption. Christ has come in the incarnation, and that he rose from the dead, and we follow him. We don't follow a dead God, we follow a living God. And now we're in an age called the church age, which is an important piece, because Jesus said when he left the earth, he said, as the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. Like, you're the church. If you follow Jesus, then you're the ones that are sent out by God, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And now today, we're talking about the next installment of the series, which is God is transforming. God is transforming the church. Now, what is God transforming the church to? God's transforming the church to be more like him. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have everything in my life figured out. Like, I don't have all of the chinks in the armor, so to speak, all repaired. Like, they're not all like God. And I think if you were to be honest, you would say, I haven't arrived either. And so today, I really want to talk about how we all need God's grace constantly working in our lives to bring about that kind of transformation where we get close to Him. And as we get close to Him, we want to become more like Him. Now, the primary vehicle through which we get close to God is worship. And so again, while we flip this service on its head and we're going to have some time to respond in worship is because I believe that transformation occurs through worship. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 may be one of the richest worship declarations about God in the New Testament. And it reads like this. It says, oh, I think that's interesting, like, it's almost like breathtaking, like, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Like, whew, just breathe that in for a moment. Like, that is, however deep you think it is, it's even deeper. However unfathomable you think it is, it's more unfathomable. God, the subject that we've been studying for months now, and we could study for the rest of our lives, God, His riches are the riches of His depth and wisdom and knowledge. The next verse says, how unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out, like, where God's leading and guiding, I don't know. I just want to follow where He's going. Verse 34, who, a rhetorical question that is no one, who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Who's been given God advice? Not me. Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? You know, the word ego can be put into an acronym, and that is edging God out. If you ever start to think that you can repay God, then that would put you in the place of God. And that's not where you're intended to be. Who could ever repay God? For, and I love this verse, I think this is a verse that can be overlaid in all of our lives if to see who are we worshiping. And it says, for from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. How many of us think, for from me, through me, and for me are all things? I think that we have to be able to shift our attention to Him in worship to say, no, not from me, but to you and to your name be the glory. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. And then it goes on, and you know this verse, probably you've been around church. If you haven't been around church, you may have even heard this before. And that the verse comes from chapter 12, verse 1. It's a carryover from what He's just been spoken about, God's depth of His riches and His glory and His fame. And it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's an oxymoron. Like, how is a sacrifice that you kill going to be living? Well, that's what our lives are called to be. That we're a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And get this, this is your true and proper worship. Not the songs we sing. Like, those are important. And we're going to do that in a few moments. But it's not just the songs you sing. It's actually the life you live Monday through Saturday before you come in this place on Sunday. That is your true act of worship to God. A living sacrifice. And you know, several years back, I think it was in the mid-90s, there was a church that had a really gifted worship leader over in the UK, and they got to a point where people became so infatuated with their worship, so they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to shut down. We're not going to sing for a while. And so we're going to worship But we're going to worship through coming into church and hearing from God's word. And we're going to worship through community, and we're going to worship through being a living sacrifice throughout the week. And so that church went on for like 6 months with no music. So aren't you glad we're not doing that, right? Like, so we need to get this picture. And what came out of that was a worship movement, which many of you probably now know as passion. And the passion movement was birthed out of that one song in particular called The Heart of Worship that says, I'll bring you more than a song, because a song in itself is not what you require. You search much deeper within. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, because it's all about you. It's all about you. That's what this verse is talking about. It goes on and it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Transformed, because God is in the transforming business, by renewing of your mind. As you think, so you will live. As you think, so you will live. So if you think properly about God, you have a focus on Him, and you want your life to glorify Him, then you will live in response to that. Your mind, your life will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. There is an inextricably linked concept between the idea of worship and transformation. If God is in the transforming business, what is true is when we worship Him and we encounter Him, we experience transformation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says it this way. It says, now, the Lord is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, one of the aspects of our vision is we want everyone to experience the freedom that God has for you. That you can come in this place and you encounter God in a real way, and in an instant, your life is changed and you begin to worship Him freely, because you've been set free by Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. Now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, the Scripture says. And then it goes on and it says, we all who with unveiled faces, we don't have a veil on our face, like we can see God for who He is. We all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory and being transformed, say that with me, transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. As we worship God, then we see Him for who He is. We encounter Him in a free way. And as we encounter Him in a free way, let me just go ahead and tell you, today I want you to have permission to worship God freely, because I never want you to feel inhibited from seeing God with an unveiled face. Because here's what I believe. When you see God with an unveiled face, you encounter Him in a real way and you experience transformation. We are in the age of the church, and as we get to know God, we're challenged to become more like Him, and He begins this work of transformation in us. I want to tell you a couple of stories about how God's transformed me in my life. I've been following Christ now for about 23 years, and I've seen God do work of transformation over and over again, because I certainly don't have it all together. The first story that I'll tell you is from when I was in college at Lee University, and I was there, and at a Christian college, you may not know this, but I was a pastoral ministry major, and so that was kind of my whole focus, and there are other Christians there, and so you know, I wanted to date someone, and when I wanted to date someone, I would use like some cheesy pickup lines, like, hey, I was reading in the book of Numbers, and it made me really sad. And she says, well, why does it make you sad? And I say, because your number's not in it, you know? Like, And so I used that line on a girl one time and started dating her. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't really use that. But I started dating this girl, and I knew from the beginning, like, this is not the girl for me. Like, and I hadn't met Ashley yet. If I had, you know, I would have known it was all over. Like, you know, I would. So I met this girl, started dating her, and from the beginning, I just knew, like, this isn't the right person for me. And we were only dating for like a month. All the time I'm like talking, I'm like, you know, I just don't know if we should be together. And I'm not supposed to be that serious with a girl right now. I think the Lord doesn't want me, you know, and what girl would want to date a guy like that, right? Like, I'm like the most uncommitted person ever. And so I talking like that, and about a month in, she just is like, hey, this isn't working out. I think that I want to break up. And I'm just devastated. I just thought like the world had ended. I've been dating this girl for a month. I have no idea why, but for whatever reason, I'm like in my dorm room, balled up on the floor, crying, like, God, I don't know why I did this. I just, you know, I'm like, I had this emotional meltdown because this girl broke up with me. I was so incredibly sad. And my roommate, his name was Jason, and Jason played guitar and sang, and he came in the room, and he saw me there, and he started playing the guitar. And I, at first, I'm like, annoying, you know, like, what are you doing? Like, you know, why are you playing the guitar right now? And then he started singing a song, and it was a worship song. And I remember, like, there on the floor, just getting off my side, rolling onto my knees, and begin to worship God. And I remember the song to this day, it was, be glorified, be glorified, be glorified in the heavens, be glorified in the earth, be glorified in this temple. Jesus, Jesus, be glorified. And as I began to worship, I experienced God transforming this sadness into joy. And I believe God does that for anyone who worships Him. He'll take our sadness and transform it into joy. In fact, the scripture says in chapter 30, verse 11, the psalmist says, "You turned my wailing into dancing, and you removed my sackcloth, the form of mourning, and you clothed me with joy." I experienced that. God transformed my sadness into joy. Another story was whenever I first felt called to ministry, I was only 18 years old, and the church I was in, like, it was a throw down, like, preach church. I mean, like, the pastor, if he didn't preach for an hour, there was something wrong, and if he didn't get above, like, 110 decibels on the measuring scale, something was wrong. I mean, he was, like, spitting and spewing and stomping and yelling and everything. And so when God called me to ministry, I thought, I guess I'm supposed to be like that. And then I got exposed to some other preachers, and they were just, I don't know. Have you ever seen some of those kind of preachers? Like, they're just wild. And I was like, my voice will go out if I try to talk like that. Like, I'm not wired that way. And so I had this incredible fear about what God was calling me to. I had this fear, like, I can't do that. And that fear was paralyzing to me. And so I remember very, very distinctly, about 2 years later, I'm about to graduate from college. And as I'm getting ready to graduate from college, I'm thinking about, like, oh, I'm going to have to preach sometime. And if I preach, I don't know. Am I going to be able to do that? And I don't think I can. So I don't know. And I was just paralyzed with fear. And I was in a worship service, and I remember God bringing that to my attention, and I remember Him just completely removing that fear in my life. The Bible says God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And I experienced that all in one instant because I was fixing my attention on Him. God transformed my fear into boldness. in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, the disciples are together and they're praying and they're asking God to do miracles and they're worshiping Him. And after they prayed, the scripture says in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, the place where they were meeting was shaken. It was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. Boldly. And that's what I experienced, that kind of transformation where God took my fear and turned it into boldness. Something that I've shared before that I don't like sharing or I'm not proud of sharing is a struggle that I've had with anger in my life. And as I've struggled with this over the years, I've studied it and I've looked at it and analyzed it and wondered why I've been angry in the past. And in fact, there was a period of time in my life where if you were to meet me, I think you probably would have said, like, that guy's an angry person. And by God's grace, I've seen Him do an amazing work of transformation in my life so that I don't know that I would be categorized. In fact, in recent years, when I've told people that I've struggled with that, they're like, really? Like, really? And I'm like, no, yeah. Well, this happened for me a few years ago whenever I encountered God in a real way in worship, where God revealed to me that you can't be loving and angry at the same time. And here's what happened in this process for me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, there is no fear in love. Well, I don't know if you thought about this a whole lot, but there's two places where anger comes from. One is the pain of our past. And so if you have wounds in your past that might surface in anger sometime, the other place is fear. And for me, when I would get in fear, I would respond in anger. When I would get in fear about being afraid that my kids would do something in the future based on their current trajectory, or I would get fearful of losing control. I grew up in a chaotic environment, and so I want to be in control. And if I fear losing control, then I respond in anger. And so I see this in the scripture that there's no fear in love. And I see all this link. I can't be angry because I'm afraid and be operating in love at the same time. There's no fear in love. And God began to reveal Himself and transform this anger into love. Here's what the scripture says. There's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. I love that. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And so I've seen God do a transformation in my own heart and begin His perfect love working in me. Worship leads us to transformation because worship leads us to God. And God is transforming us into who He wants us to become. We are the church. And the scripture says that God is preparing the church to be the bride of Christ, to be a spotless bride. I feel like I have a lot of spots still. I don't know about you. Maybe you have some spots. God's working to present a spotless church. He's going to do that through transforming us. We are the church. We aren't there yet. We're being renewed day by day, and we are being called to encounter the one who brings about that transformation. So let me talk about four transformations that we'll see in our life if we worship God with kind of a reckless abandon. The first one is, I believe we will experience a personal transformation if we begin to love God. We'll talk about that. We experience a relational transformation because when we love God, we'll rightly love others. We'll experience a missional transformation. That is, we'll love people that are far from God, and then it'll start to come in on us, and we'll experience a transformation of our church, which will be a beautiful picture. Here's what I want for you today. First thing, I want you to experience a personal transformation. I believe everything begins with our relationship with God. I want you to have an encounter with Jesus today where you love Him more and you follow Him more, that you sing like you've never sang before because you have this freedom by the power of the Holy Spirit where you worship Him and you encounter Him in a real way and you experience personal transformation. Some of you, that means that this week, that you need to be a living sacrifice beyond what is happening here on Sundays. That means that you got to turn off the iPhone. It means you got to turn off the TV, turn off the computer, have a little less time, maybe in the car where you're listening to talk radio, you're listening to the Bible instead. I'm not sure what that is for you, but it's leading you to experience personal transformation. Some of you need to sacrifice some sleep and come to men's Bible study on Wednesday morning. Amen, Mark? Amen. Yeah, so that's part of this sacrifice, living sacrifice, to draw close to Jesus, experience personal transformation. And now, where does that lead? Now you can start to experience relational transformation. Because what did Jesus say? He said, if you love God first, then your second response is the outflow is that you'll love others. That you'll start to love others. That starts at home. It starts with your spouse first and foremost. Then it flows to your kids, and then it flows to out of your family environment to your neighbors. Maybe it flows to your house church. Then it flows out of that into this world, and that leads us to the third transformation that occurs, and that is a missional transformation. When you get excited about Jesus, then you can't help but start to get excited about the things that are on His heart. And that is to look outside the walls of the church. You'll want to see churches get planted. You'll want to see new house churches start. You'll want to see all of these things happening because you have a heart for the world outside. You're going to want people to meet Jesus because you're so excited about Him. And then fourth, this is my favorite part, and that is that will lead to a church transformation. You'll love Jesus, and you'll love CLT. And so many of you do already, and if you don't, then we hope you do, that you love this church so much that you won't just use the church, but that you'll love CLT. You'll come early to meet people. You'll stay late to meet people. You'll go to lunch with people after. You'll invite people into your home that you don't really know that well. You'll entertain people. You'll join a house church. You'll start praying for people in the church and pursuing them in relationship because you love the church. And when we get together and we sing, we'll all be singing with all our hearts because we're unified in one mind, in one accord, just like they were in the book of Acts. And the outflow of that is citywide transformation. And that is awesome. I want to invite the band to come. And here's really what I envision for each one of us. I want each one of us to experience personal transformation because God is in the transforming business. And I want to see your relationships thrive. I want to see mission of God advance in this city and in this community. I want to see the church at Lake Travis grow, and I want to see God do amazing things in this community where our future is bright. Here's what I think will happen if that happens. I think you will know God at a deeper level. I believe you'll experience Him at a deeper level. I believe you'll find the kind of freedom that God wants for you. I believe that you'll start to discover your purpose and why on earth you are here, and you'll start to use that purpose for His glory, and you'll start to make a difference with your life. And I believe this this church will never be the same as a result of you and I being transformed as we worship God. And so I want to invite you to that place today where you worship God passionately. If you're here today and you would say, Jeremy, I don't even know Jesus, I would encourage you, as we talked about this story of God and you've seen that your sin is keeping you from Him, there's one step for you to take, and that's to turn from your sin and yourself and to say, I'll put my trust in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for me. That's called repentance. It's called turning away from yourself. It's not a lot different from the believer who's here today who says, Jeremy, I haven't experienced this kind of transformation in my own life, and I want to. I've been following other gods. I've been following comfort. I've been following convenience. And I've been putting up false idols, and I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to love you with my heart. And the same is true for the believer, and that is to turn to Jesus and repent. So if you would like to do that, you may not know how to do that. Our prayer team will be in the back corners here in the room today. We're just going to sing. We're going to worship. We're going to hang out with each other and hang out with God and get to know Him better in worship. I want to invite you to do that freely. You can come here, receive communion at the front. If you're a part of the family of God, we receive communion here at the Church of Lake Travis each and every week. And we have these communion stations up here at the front and two in the back as well. And so, again, this is your time to really draw close to the Lord. Why don't you stand to your feet, we'll pray, and then we'll continue worship.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.